Hello and welcome to the Racing Post podcast. I'm Dan Walsh and today I'm joined by Tom Park and Mark Boylan. Tom, how are we doing?
Yes, very good, thank you. Very good. Fresh after a brilliant weekend of racing and sport in general, actually. There was a lot of drama and everything, really. But some brilliant racing, superb stars on show. Some enhanced their Cheltenham claims and some kind of blotted the copybook a bit. But it's been an interesting weekend, to say the least.
And Mark, I'm sure you're still catching your breath from the Irish action this weekend.
She's just about, yeah, absolutely calling for the tongue tie now to keep me on the straight and narrow, yeah. My God, some racing both sides of the water. I'd never been to Sandown before and I got over to the Tingle Creek on Saturday. So very enjoyable, even if Shacken sunk a few boats for us. But here we go, that's racing.
Well, if you were at Sandown, that's probably the best place to start. So we're going to start with the Henry VIII Novices Chase. This was won by Edward Stone, third time lucky. Did a little too much too early and went through a couple of fences at crucial stages. But it could be argued that Edward Stone didn't pull off any surprises, really, given he was the better hurdler of the two last season. He's now the shortest of the British contingent for the Arkle at around 9-1. Tom, what did you think of the performance?
Yeah, it was very, very good performance. Kind of fell apart a little bit. Third time lucky, he put in some extravagant leaps early on, and I actually backed third time lucky, and I was thinking, like five fences in, I was thinking, well, he's just going to jump them silly here. And then it got to the bit where it really matters at Sandown, where it jumped them railway fences, and he flicked the water jump before. He got in a bit tight to that, and I was thinking, right, get your rhythm, and then. Yeah, just completely, his jumping fell apart. Not quite sure what to make of it. I kind of think, look, they went very quick. I think it was 2 or 3 seconds ahead throughout the race, ahead of the Tingle Creek. And he just got tired. I mean, a stiff track like Sandown probably isn't up third time lucky street. It probably enhanced Edward Stone's performance a little bit. But take nothing away from the winner. He jumped a lot better. I think he went chasing last season, didn't he? And didn't quite take to it. They went back hurdling with him. Alan King's been very, very patient with him. It was a much better performance from him at Warwick last time. And then, yeah, he's just progressing. And it was a really nice performance, albeit a little bit disappointing from third time lucky.
And Mark, what would you say that you took out of that performance from third time lucky and Edwardstown?
Good race to watch, exciting. Third time lucky, he's jumping, as I said, it's let him down, but he's done too much too early, it appears. And for all that Edward Stone has pulled clear, I personally didn't believe that it was the highest standard of a grade one. That won't matter one jot to connections. It's a good bit of placement from Alan King and a good bit of judgment, as Tom's alluded to there, in terms of how they've mapped this horse's career. But do I think any of these horses would be proper grade one Arkle contenders? I think there's a lot stronger grade one, 2 mile kind of candidates out there. So I think they'll need to improve again to step up. I was encouraged by how Warlord stayed on. I think he does have a future. But again, Edward Stone to make it to an Arkle grade. He couldn't have done much more in the day, but he'll have more to do again when he does step into that level.
How would you ride third time lucky next time, Mark? Because I was hoping that they did what they did this week. I thought, you know what, I'd just let him get out in front, try and jump them silly, but he has done far too much too soon. Obviously, at Cheltenham last time, they kind of put the anchor on him a little bit and he kind of pulled himself to the front. But at least he had enough, albeit, maybe he would got chinned in the end at Cheltenham. I kind of thought he was just hiding a little bit, but maybe he was really tiring.
I think he's a good horse, Tom, but is he that level, really?
I think he's been found out, hasn't he? I'm not sure he's a grade one horse. He's just his jumping when he's on song is so brilliant. I just don't know where you're going to go with him next. I found it a really frustrating race to watch because you were kind of thinking, oh, he's putting a breather into him. You get to the pond fence, you think, right, and then you're thinking, he was just cooked so quickly. I don't know, I love jumpers like him that just really go and attack their fences. I'm kind of willing him to be quite good. But, yeah, I just found it really disappointing.
He's an exciting watch, isn't he? He is an exciting watch. Like, but I just wonder with him, you know, for him to do what he did there, like, I know he's a very, very good jumper for a novice having his third start over fences. Like, for what Harry was asking him to do at different stages of the race, like, I think even a mature, seasoned, proper, you know, top 2 miler around Sandown would struggle to probably, you know, deliver what he did. And look at, again, I need to have a closer look at sections before I'm absolutely concrete on what I'm saying here in that sense. But I still think that, you know, when you are riding a novice, jumping is obviously his ace card, but you can overdo it a little bit as well. And I think maybe
he definitely overdid,
you know,
it.
That's my take on it. But as Eddie, I'm willing to stand corrected in terms of sections to tell me otherwise. But you know, I just would feel that he's a good horse, and I don't. And in fairness to him, one thing you have to give him credit for, he's very nearly second. He has dug in all the way to the line, and Warlord is plugging and plugging and plugging, having been ridden more patiently. And in terms of attitude, you have an awful lot for a third time lucky to keep digging in the way he did. But I just don't believe that he is a proper grade one horse at that level, to be quite honest. I think he's enjoyable to watch, but just, you know, I personally, Fernie Hollow at the weekend, for all that it was achieved in a lower grade, he would excite me far more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that.
So we'll move on from horses we don't believe a grade one level to ones that definitely are. So we'll go to the Betfair Tingle Creek, won by Grenadine. The finishing order for this turned out to be the betting market turned on its head. The hot favourite, Shack and Post, well, was beaten by the Pond Fence. Bryony turned what can't have been the most enjoyable weeks, really, into winning one on the biggest stage. And now that's two exciting Sandown wins from two in 2021 for the pair after the celebration chase win over Altior. Mark, you didn't think the last ones were grade one winners. This one is a grade one winner, but what did you think of the entire field?
Sure, I mean, the race itself had been built up as the Shacken and Shishkin for a little while, or the hope of the Shishkin could take on a Mullins one. That was a little bit disappointing. He didn't turn up, but obviously they had their reasons. To me, for all the Shacken Persuas has disappointed, and some people, I know you're in the camp now that wouldn't be a big believer in him. I know myself and Tom are in a different camp again. We'd be very, very much in favour of Shacken, but I don't believe you can come to any sort of conclusion about him here. Like, I mean, if you believe that Shacken Persuas has run his race in any shape, you know, I just can't have that. I mean, he's not, Willie has said he's very sore behind afterwards. To me, this is a run you draw a line through. And, you know, if you've had a view before that he isn't of this level, you can maintain it. But I think if you were a believer, you can't take this run as one that you'd write him off with. Because, you know, he's jumping as his ace card. You know, he takes lengths out of horse's defences, but he never took a cut. And, you know, Patrick had suggested even afterwards that he was expecting him to be a little bit sore, something to be amiss with him afterwards. And I just thought visibly this was a case of a horse that wasn't physically right on the day and didn't perform. Because the Shacken that we know wings those fences, takes lengths out of them. And, you know, the concern I had, to be quite honest, coming into the race wasn't as much to do with any sort of track preference or anything like that. I think what beat him at Cheltenham last year was the hard race he had at the Dublin Racing Festival. Now, albeit he's winning easy, the times that he's putting up, the effort that he put in from, you know, Hilly Way to Christmas to Dublin Racing Festival, I think they're monster efforts to put in. And I thought that was nearly what undid him come Cheltenham time. I thought that impacted his finishing effort. But I know the Mullins camp seemed to believe that it was, you know, they felt they should have been more aggressive on him at Cheltenham. To me, that was my greater concern, that it could have left a mark going to Punchestown again. And maybe that is a case, but I just can't take this run as anything to do with Shacken's credentials. And Grenadine, Paul Nicholls is an absolute, if you ever need a confirmation that he is genius kind of category, Paul Nicholls here, even Hitman second, awesome bit of placing, awesome bit of training. And again, delighted for Bryony to cap a challenging week like that, and to be at Sandown for that, really, really enjoyable.
Shacken Persuas, I'll never say he's not at this level, because of course he is. He's done it time and time again. He's just the horse I want to get beat every time. That's the only thing that it is. Tom, in terms of Nuba Negra's performance, what did you think of that?
Yeah, he was, I think he was very disappointing, wasn't he? Not sure. Hard to put it. It's a tricky one. I thought it was a bit of a messy race. Look, I'm very much in agreement with Mark. That run from Shacken was just not the Shacken Persuas, not even the Shacken Persuas that we've seen beaten before. It was just completely horrendous. Even in the champion chase last year, he jumped like a stag. He's always jumped like a stag. And it just completely fell to bits. And the warning signs were there from a long way out. That isn't his performance. Hopefully he'll bounce back. My worry with a horse like Shacken, he has had problems in the past, and he's never touched a twig since returning from his lengthy layoff. He hit a couple, and if he is sore, in places. How's he going to respond to that? I've backed him for the champion chase, and it was a disappointing performance. Could I see him bouncing back? Absolutely, but there's work to do now with him. The horse that I really think that I think we need to take from the race is Hitman. I thought it was a hell of a performance. He hit his nose. I think he pecked, was it the third or fourth fence in front of the stands? And then he got the second last all wrong. He's a five-year-old. He's just getting better with every run. And I just think that, look, I think he's 51 for the Ryanair. I think they'll maybe step him back up in trip towards the season. I have no idea if they're going to go to Cheltenham, but this horse is seriously talented. And if he's not 51 for any race. I just thought that it was a really big performance from him. Grenadine, I think Sandown is definitely his track. And I think he's a very good horse as well. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be jumping into a Shishkin camp over Grenadine, to be honest. I think there's some serious questions we need to... I think Shishkin stayed the same price for the champion chase after everything. That would worry me. Look, he's not dirty scopes and this. It's kind of excuse after excuse. Whether we get to see him over Christmas, I wouldn't be so sure. And then you kind of getting into this way where do we get a run in to him before Cheltenham? It's a muggy old picture. Meanwhile, over in Ireland, an Ergamine kind of jumped them silly and looked the same powerhouse that he was as a novice last year. So maybe he's the answer to the puzzle. But it was a funny old race. Nube Negra, going back to the original question, I think he was probably the worst out of the lot. Maybe he had excuses as well. Shakan certainly did. Funny old race. Fantastic result, though, for Briony. As you say, that was a horrendous week for her. And to put that behind her just goes to show like how good and professional she is. She's the real deal, and she's brilliant for racing.
So I'll give you all a quick market update on the champion chase following that result. Shishkin is general 6-4, Energamin 5-2, Grenadine's 8, Shakan Postwell has drifted out to 10-1. Would you double down on the 10-1 there, Tom?
Possibly, yeah. I kind of think you could take a chance that he's going to be. I think there's big question marks over whether Shishkin's going to get to this champion chase, I have to say. To me, if you're having a win-only bet, I'd probably back an Ergamine. I kind of think, out of the two at the top of the market, he's definitely the one that I would side with. And yeah, 10-1 in each way play, I think that he's definitely a better horse than what we saw on Saturday. Well, he's got to be a better horse than what we saw on Saturday. He's got to be a better horse than what he was at Cheltenham, and that's the other worry with him. Was it Cheltenham that was the problem? I was of the opinion that he just wasn't right that day, but you know, you can only give so many excuses for the horses. I know Tom Siegel was waxing lyrical that Chacon Possoir wasn't going to get up the hill, and he was kind of proved right. I thought it was the tactics that they got wrong. I thought he needed to be ridden from the front. He was much better at Punchestown. It was a very disappointing performance on Saturday, but too bad to be true. I could forgive him at 10-1, I think. I think that he's a very, very good horse when right. And, you know, it could be a race for the ages if all three of them get there in top form. It could also quite quickly fall apart like the champion chase has so often when we've had these big matchups over recent years. I mean, just go back 2 years when it was Altior, Shakan and Deffy, and it was 2-1 each of them. And we only ended up with one of them running and he didn't even win. So, yeah. I just think there's a lot more water under the bridge to come, and I just hope that we get to see them all there. I'd have serious reservations about Shishkin at the moment. I'm not liking the vibes that are coming in, that are coming out. Something's clearly not right. If he's got what 3 months to turn it round, he's trained by a master, and I'm sure his patience will be rewarded. Albeit we're frustrated sometimes with his patience, but. You know, he was proved right in the end. If the horse is scoped dirty, something clearly wasn't right. And he might have messed up his entire season had he ran him. So, yeah, we'll wait and see.
But we'll move on to Aintree now, and we'll start with the Mediclaus Chase, and that was won by Protectorate by 25 lengths. Very impressive on his first run over 3 miles. There were only three finishes in this race in what looked like quite tough conditions, but Protectorate didn't look like slowing down too much all the way to the line. Tom, Protectorate, what did you think of that performance?
Yeah, funny old race again, really. It was a good performance. Look, there was big question marks over his stamina. He looked in the Paddy Power Gold Cup like he probably would appreciate a little bit of a step up in trip, but on that ground, over that trip with a horse like Native River going like hell for leather up front, he's had to properly stay, and stay he did. He has only beaten, how old's Native River? Is he 12 going on 13?
He'll be 12 in the new year.
12 in the new year. So, look, I mean, his best days are probably behind him, albeit he really sticks his neck out. He's a legend of a horse, isn't he? I don't know. Well, there's people talking about him as a Gold Cup horse. I just think he's a very hard horse to trust. I'd want to see him do it 3 or 4 runs in a row, putting up consistent performances, because last year as a novice, he was just a little bit in and out, and that would worry me a little bit. He looked very good pre-Christmas. And then his form just completely fell away aside after Christmas, and then obviously he bounced back at Aintree. So we'll wait and see with Protectorate. I don't know. If he was a Gold Cup horse, I kind of think you get up and win that Paddy Power Gold Cup. I know a few things went against him, but he was well handicapped enough in the grand scheme of things if we think he's a genuine Grade 1 horse. I think the race kind of fell into his lap a little bit. Obviously, Imperial Aura was pulled up. Native River ran a solid enough race, but, you know, he's 11 going on 12. A half-decent one probably beats him, and I think that was probably the case at the weekend. Is he in the King George? I don't know what the plans are for Protectorate. He'd be interested in King George, but I'm not sure whether he's got an entry.
He's in the Savills Chase at the minute.
The Savills Chase, yeah.
I think Dana suggested that they haven't decided exactly where his next step will be before the Gold Cup, but that the Savills, I don't think that's looking like a likely option. He had mentioned the Cotswold Chase, but I don't think he wanted to do that as well before going to Cheltenham. The line here is the King George was never on the agenda, and although he has an entry in Ireland, he won't go there. He won't go for the Cotswold either, as to do that in the Gold Cup would be too much. So
the Gold Cup on the cards, I mean, yeah, I've not seen the betting for the Gold Cup, so I'm not sure how big he is.
Protectorate's currently 16-1.
I don't think I'd be wanting bigger than 16-1, I think. There's enough question marks for me. I like the fact that they're going there fresh. I think he probably is I think he's a better horse fresh. I think he'd be a 16-1 shot on the day, probably. I wouldn't be really getting involved 16-1, I don't think.
It definitely looked a Gold Cup performance, but then you kind of have to factor in all the different things that, like you say, Native River is an aging horse. The other ones that you'd expect to challenge didn't get round. So you kind of look at the 16s and what it's up against in a very strong Gold Cup. I think, yeah, you're probably right. 16s and above is definitely what you're wanting for that. You want to see something else.
He's a young horse, though, isn't he? Very, very young.
Very young, still only 6.
Exactly, yeah. I could see him about, he could be the improving. As I said, he's a little bit inconsistent at the moment for me, and he's put 2 decent performances together there. Let's see what he's got. He's one that I'd quite happily watch, and if he proves me wrong, he proves me wrong.
So we've just talked about Native River. He still looks to me like he's got one big win left in him. And after that race, should we be looking forward to Christmas just that little bit more, with the potential that he might do a repeat of 2016 in the Welsh Grand National, Mark?
God, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, as a race itself, I find it very hard to evaluate properly, in the sense that, you know, simply the bets, 7-2 he went off. I know he's even a little bit shorter, I think, before then. That was a funny market move. And, you know, Imperial Aura has obviously pulled up as well. I don't even believe that we saw the very best of Native River. That's typically his style, to kind of come under pressure and find. But I just thought it probably wasn't him at his optimum either. So it's a race I find hard to weigh up. I think that I take from it with Protectorate is that his stamina has proven in a dour test like this. and that would give you encouragement with his claims and staying handicap chases going forward. But in terms of a piece of form, I struggle to have great confidence in it at the minute. But as we've pointed out, as a six-year-old, you'd have to be very, very encouraged with his overall profile.
So I can't get you excited for the Welsh National just yet.
I struggle to know where we stand with him at the moment. I did think there were some signs of encouragement in it. But
he didn't jump all that well, did he? Like,
yeah.
The horse like Native River, who's like bald, big, bald. It was actually the sloppiest I've probably seen him jump for a while. But he did plug on like he normally does. But maybe there is a little bit more improvement in him if he just wasn't in that rhythm that I'm seeing of him.
I would take from it that I suppose as an 11-year-old turning 12, maybe it takes a little bit longer to shed the rust, potentially on your first start of the year, than it might have when he was younger. But if he runs in the Welsh National, he's going to have a massive weight. And look, he's a hard horse to count out, but it'd be absolutely be a performance for the ages if he could pull it off. But I need a little bit more confidence now before parting with cash.
No, I'm just interested in the fairy tale stories, that's all. But we're going to move on. It has been a highlight weekend for Gordon Elliott, but before we get onto that a little bit later, we should really bring up Tiger Roll in this race. It's not what you want to see, is it, Mark?
No, it was disappointing. Yeah, I mean, it's not his game, really, them sort of chases. I suppose, from a handicap point of view, I'm sure Jingistown are of the... I'm assuming the Jingistown are the view that, you know, the horses... rate of 165 coming in here, that he's not a 165 horse in these sort of races, yet he's going to kind of have a mark that's not a million miles off that for a national. But it's very, very hard to know in terms of what this really achieves. But you know, the horse has to start somewhere. I'd like to start him on soft ground. I think crucially with Tiger Roll, I think he's a horse that when he gets out and when he gets into a rhythm and he doesn't get a chance to sulk, I think that's where you see the best of him. And that's not in a derogatory sense, but I mean, I thought Keith Dunne, who was riding him last year in the cross country, or that season in the cross country, was one of the rides of the week, in the sense that he was able to get the horse, you know, in his own zone and doing it all without kind of having any sort of hassle. I thought that was crucial to his win at Cheltenham, and I don't think we're probably going to see him in that sort of scenario, probably until Cheltenham again and over hurdles in the Boyne. He'll probably be ridden patient and see what he can pick up again. But look, I'm not hitting the panic button on Tiger Roll. I know Father Time is against him, but you talk about fairy tales at Native River. This guy is capable of conjuring up any sort of fairy tale himself. And I know Gordon Elliott has said that if he was to win the cross country at Cheltenham, that'd be absolutely the highlight for him. And regardless of whatever would come at Aintree, and I would be of a similar view. I think regardless of what happens, I think this horse's narrative shouldn't be around what happens at Aintree, but what happens at Cheltenham. Because, you know, I know Red Rum, the history, it could be there, but if he won at Cheltenham in March, wouldn't it just absolutely take the roof off the place? I'd absolutely love it. And I still think that dream, it's not dead. It still is. There's still a glimmer there. So, although, look, it wasn't an encouraging run in any shape or form, I'm not hitting the panic button on Tiger yet.
I mean, I must just point out that Gordon did say, I've read this morning, that if he were at Aintree on Saturday, he wouldn't have run Tiger Roll with the conditions. So hopefully we can just knock this one on the head and look for 2022, that magic story to continue on, like you say, at Cheltenham. And then
he's a big old price for that cross country, isn't he? 7-1. I mean, like, he's miles better than, I know he's getting on in age, and like, but he's run stinkers like that on soft ground a lot, plenty of times before. Like, you know the route that he's going to take.
And throw in there as well, Parky. I mean, Easy Landers, after having a setback in September, I think it was reported that he had had a little bit of a mishap while he was out on his holiday at Martinstown, that he's going to be back in the new year, you know. But that's not an ideal prep from an Easy Land point of view. No, I haven't heard anything, and that's a couple of months ago. He could well be absolutely singing again, I couldn't tell you. But, you know, look, I'm not saying Tiger Roll's profile this season has been any more encouraging so far, but... look at you. It's going to be the one day that they've circled on the calendar, like, that this is absolutely, like, look, to me, you would need no money on that horse to enjoy him winning across country. It would just be, you know, one of those moments if he could do it. But yeah, look, I take that view for sure. I mean, I don't think that run the other day has huge implications for his chance come March.
Nah, I just think in that cross country, you're not going to get any of the you've hardly got... I know Easy's Land kind of came up from the unexposed French ranks the other day, but that doesn't happen very often. We kind of know where these horses are. And Tiger Roll, as long as he gets goodish ground, he's miles better than everything, including Easy's Land, in my opinion. I think if it's soft ground, then you'd maybe it gives Easy Sand a bit more of a chance. But I think the two of them are a long way. I'd just surprised to see him as big as 7-1. I think that's like a reaction to him running Pooley, which I would kind of brush under the carpet a little bit. I mean, I'd be a little bit more wary about backing him for the Grand National. But there's a lot more things you've got to take into account for a Grand National. And you're getting, what, a quarter of the price for the cross country? I'd certainly give him he's going to win that four more times than he'd win the Grand National, I think, at his age. I just think 7-1, he's going to get there. You're going to get a run for your money, providing he doesn't have any mishaps. And he'll be at least half that on the day, and that's if he's in terrible form. But I don't know. I love the horse. I can't wait to see him at Cheltenham. I think he'll bring the house down. I think he will win as well. I think 7-1, good price.
Entire racing world crosses its fingers, hopes for that result. And we're going to move on now from a Grand National legend to a race over the Grand National fences. Probably, I think, the most exciting finish of the weekend by far. Snow Leopard S held off Hill 16 by a nose in the Beecher Handicap. I must preface this by saying that Aidan Coleman did end up picking up a 7-day whip ban, which must have left a bit of a sour taste in the mouths of Hill 16 backers. But what a performance from Snow Leopard S. Mama Snow, we're going to call her, Tom.
What a horse. What a horse. What an amazing performance. I mean, take away the stuff that she's done before, because it's an incredible career that she's had. I was writing about her in the RFO last week, and I kind of said, no, she's not taken to the fences, but I wouldn't put anything past this mare. She's unbelievable. And she just took to it like a duck to water. She jumped them silly. I did think coming to the elbow, it's gonna come and beat her. There can't have been any, apart unless you're a Hill 16 backer, there can't have been anyone watching that race who wasn't roaring Snow Leopard S home. And you wouldn't have even have to have known the story behind her to cheer on, because it was the way that she raced and jumped and tried and tried and tried. It was just a brilliant performance. And it was that for me was the performance of the weekend. I loved every single bit of it.
I think the Racing Post Live studio is still bouncing from the reaction we had in there this last weekend. There's a plug, Racing Post Live, every weekend on the YouTube channel. So, Mark, are you all Snow Leopard Deaths on this, or was there anything else you wanted to take out this race?
Oh, I don't think I want to talk about Chris's dream anyway. I thought I was upset, but John O'Neill punching the ground would tell you that he was pretty upset too. I thought, while I absolutely loved seeing Snow Leopard S do it, and I loved her willingness late on, this was a race now that felt like it got away from me with Chris's dream. Look, I know it's the Canal Turn, I know it's a long way from home, but geez, I thought he was absolutely swinging there at the time. I really think he would have gone close. And the frustrating thing with this horse is he's so good fresh. It's not like you can just turn up now at Christmas and collect and get back compensation. You know, this horse is much better when he does have a break between runs. So it felt like one that you had a chance to pick up on, and it hasn't really happened. But look, it's just one of those things. And I suppose in terms of a racing purist point of view, I really enjoyed seeing the mare do it. And geez, wasn't she game. Like, I mean, Aidan Coleman was giving her loads of it, and she was giving him plenty of it back. It was fantastic to watch.
So we'll close out the English action there, and we'll be moving on to the action happening from over the sea in just a second.
The Racing Post Christmas Countdown offers you the chance to win the ultimate Cheltenham Festival experience for you and three friends. Travel in style to Gold Cup Day with helicopter transfers from your five-star hotel, and experience fine dining in the Chez Roux restaurant with some of the finest views over the course. To enter, simply place a bet on the Racing Post app on Friday, and on top of that, there are huge weekly prizes available as well. Find out more at racingpost.com/Christmas Countdown.
Before we get started with the race reviews, Mark, I know you're eager to tell us all about Gordon Elliott's historic achievement at Navan on Saturday.
Ah, sure. Magic. Like, I mean, in terms of, Saturday was so much going on. Like, in the weekend, you needed eyes back, front, side, everywhere of your head to see what was happening. But I just, the achievement of Gordon Elliott in, winning the last seven races on the card at Navan, and then going on and continuing it the next day between Cork and Punchestown. It's an astonishing achievement, really. And it's obviously been well documented with Gordon in terms of, he served his suspension. And, this is a rebuilding phase. I think he even said during last week. So to turn up and do this, and it's not just like it was an ordinary card. I mean, there was a 40 grand Grade B handicap chase, a Grade 3 novice chase. There was another Grade B handicap hurdle worth 100 grand. There was a Grade 2 novice hurdle. Like, this was a quality multiple to pull off. And in that day, there was a lot of smart performances too. I was pretty taken by the horse and the bumper. It's What Unites Us. I'd encourage you to go back and watch that. It was pretty good. And Ginto was smart as well in continuing his rise through the ranks of the novice. But just thought in terms of an achievement, Gordon, it was just outstanding. And the weekend in Ireland, it's kind of a microcosm, I suppose, maybe exaggerated in some senses. But, you know, the power that the top stables have here, you know, Gordon, Willie, Henry, all those big names, and there's plenty more to go with it. They have such incredible dominance here at the minute. Think of the 24 races between Navan, Punchestown and Cork at the weekend. 16 were won by Willie or Gordon. And, you know, of the 8 races that they didn't win, I think Willie wasn't represented in 5 and Elliot didn't have a runner in 3. So, I mean, it's so, so tough here. It's so, so competitive. And I just thought, now, as far as achievements go at this time, to pull off that big hat tip to Gordon Elliot, top, top class.
But we'll start the reviews from the Sunday action. We'll start off with the 10 past 12 at Cork. This was won by Largy. Is it Largy debut?
You're on the ball. Yeah, Largy debut.
So that were their first win under rules for the first run for Henry de Bromhead. They've been introduced into the Supreme market around 14-1. And speaking of 14-1, Kilcrew, it's likely to be the disappointment of the weekend for all favourite backers. He was turned over at odds of 14-1 on. Mark.
Yeah, head scratching moment, Kilcrew, wasn't it? You'd have to be disappointed. I thought his jumping could have been better. He just looked a little bit flat. You know, the way the race developed, it was a set two between the pair that ended up 1-2. And, you know, it just was a disappointing effort. Now, for all that some people were pointing, there was a bit of a panic button hit maybe by some. Willie's horse at the time, having seen Ellie May beaten at Aintree and Shacken beaten at Sandown. You know, then this fella gets beat, I think, as at least a quarter of a century anyway. He's the shortest priced beaten favourite in Irish racing. You know, it was kind of bizarre, but I still think that, you know, if you are a supporter of Kilcrew, you know, you can say to yourself now that you've been pushed out for the Supreme. I certainly wouldn't be totally panicked in that sense. I think there's 12-1 about him for the Supreme now. Like, it's all, albeit that John Bond is worthy of being a favourite at the moment, and Constitution Hill did impress at Sandown on Saturday for Nicky Henderson, another race worth watching back on your Racing Post members glow if you have it. I still think Kilcrew, it's not the end of the world for him. The winner could be pretty smart. Willie didn't seem overly downbeat on Racing TV. It was disappointing, there's no getting away from it. But I still think the best of him is when you see him in the spring and he gets a strong pace to run at, and he just keeps motoring off it. You know, look, it's not the start you would have wanted, but I don't think it's the end of the world either.
Now, Tom, these both went like well clear of the remainder in this race. Could it just be that we've seen two really good ones and that Kilcrew had just come on for this run?
I would have alarm bells, I think. If you're a Kilcrew fan, you can't possibly have... I don't think there's many positives to take from it. They were absolutely entitled to smash the rest of the field. I wouldn't worry in the sense that he wasn't given a hard race, was he? The one got loose and clear. He wasn't given the hardest race to go and chase. I agree with Mark. I think that's not Kilcrew's kind of race. He does need a strong pace to kind of run at. But it's very hard to be positive about that performance. It's a little bit of a sucker blow if you've backed him. I kind of think, looking at the Supreme market, I thought Constitution Hill, I know we're going briefly back to Sandown on Saturday, that was a hell of a performance. You talk about horses pulling clear of the rest of the field. He beat Might Eye by 14 lengths. But Might Eye's absolutely smashed the rest of them. I mean, I think 17 lengths, I've just checked. 17 lengths, 15 lengths, 3.5, 17 lengths. They're so well strung out. And he's like quickened like a proper good un. I was dead impressed. The Supreme is not a market that I would usually get involved with anti-post ever, really. But this is, even at 5-6-1, it's properly tempting. I thought it was a hell of a performance, Constitution Hill.
Constitution Hill into fours. Kill Crew drifted to tens.
As in terms of a visual, and I'm sure the sectionals will probably back it up. I thought that was a hell of a performance. And with Kilcrook kind of blotching his copybook a little bit, I'd take Constitution Hill over John Bonn. I mean, John Bonn's been pretty good, but I don't know. I thought it was a hell of a performance. And the Brits are back. We're back in action. John Bonn, Constitution Hill, we're going to kick the festival off in style, and we're gonna hammer the Irish. That's the way it's going to go. Nicky Henderson's back. And I think he's got a really good one here. Yeah, I'm excited. Constitution Hill, remember the name.
Well, we're just about to move on to another one who might disagree with you there. Dynamo won the next maiden hurdle at the same venue. This is not to be confused with his very successful half-sister, Dysart Diamond, who's also on a bit of a winning run at the minute for Willie Mullins and owner Eleanor Manning this season. Dysart Dynamo is now single figures, 8-1 for the Supreme and 10-1 for the Ballymore. Now, I wanted to bring this race up for more than just the performance, the 19-length win, but it's the story behind it. The dam to these two, Dysart Dancer, was 4 from 6 during her racing career. Dysart Diamond is now 5 from 15, and Dysart Dynamo is 3 from 3. This is what horse racing ownerships, like, dreams are made of, isn't it, Mark?
Ah, yeah, no, it's a very, very good family. Eleanor Manning bred Dysart Dynamo, yeah, by God, she's bred a good one. Now, this look, he's not the finished article yet. I mean, in terms of jumping, he'd have to get a little bit better, but I thought that there was way more positives than negatives to take from it. It wasn't the strongest of races, I didn't feel. For all that Flame Bear is a smart horse, I don't think we saw the very best of him. And obviously, Marvel de Cerisi was pulled up as well. To be honest, I would take him as a very, very... I'd have him on as one of the top kind of bumper horses going hurdling for Willie this season. Look, he's got more to achieve. Even the form of his bumpers, for all that it's decent. There's others that have stronger bumper form coming through, but there's a lot to like about the way he's going about his business. And you know well, he's going to sharpen up a lot from it. Just something to note there. I thought it was interesting. They stuck a tongue tie on him for the first time at Cork. Don't know if that's to point at and could be absolutely irrelevant, but just to point it out there. But yeah, pretty smart now, and sounds like we're going to have a good old GB versus Ireland in the first, if we're to believe the way we're talking here with your John Bonds and Constitution Hills, etc. There's still a lot of talent there to come from this side of the water too.
So Tom, Dysart Dynamo, no competition for Constitution Hill?
No, this, honestly, Constitution Hill, this is the real deal. You think Might Eye, just quickly looking at it, that form from the weekend, right? Might Eye is a very good horse. Won its novice hurdle by 11 lengths. The second in that race that it beat by 11 lengths has won his next two starts. So while the form, that's solid novice hurdle form, and he's absolutely running ragged. I mean, he's just shot clear after the last. I thought it was a proper performance. I mean, if that horse was trained by Willie Mullins, he'd be considerably shorter than even the 4-1. He's trained by Henderson. I mean, he's not. I was dead impressed, and I'll probably fall in. I kind of said last year, well, the one thing that I'm not doing next year is getting like carried away with any of the British performances, because the Irish are miles better. And first race of the festival, I'll be all in on this thing, because I was like, wow, when it just the way that it kicked away. I mean, I love horses like that who've just got that instant turn of gear, but. It was no slouch that he's beaten there. That he's a good novice hurdler, as Might Eye. And yeah,
excited. It's coming home.
It's coming home. It is. Yeah, I'm excited. I thought it was a hell of a performance.
Tom, you've convinced me. Constitution Hill is in the tracker. So we'll move on now to the Mare's Novice Chase. That was won by Concertista. She's opening up her chasing count there with a Grade 2 success. So that's not a bad prize to get started with, is it, Tom?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance from Concertista. I quite liked, she was a bit low at offences, so it meant she had a few novice mistakes, but I thought it was a good performance. I liked what I saw. I think she's beaten a good horse, and the horse in second was a good horse. Very much liked what I saw. She was obviously a very good hurdler, brings a good level of form, but yeah, I just liked the way that she jumped. She wasn't very airy at them. She didn't leave much like there. She was making time up each fence, and she just cleans up them scrappier ones where she just clipped the top a little bit, which you expect from a novice. I think she's very much where you'd be pretty excited, I think, if you're a Concertista fan. I'm not sure what price she is for the mare's chase at Cheltenham, but it would be right up a street.
And do we think it'll be chases only for the rest of the season, Mark? With Ellie Mae disappointing over the weekend, Cole Reeve is now retired. It's starting to look a bit wide open, although I'm sure Willie's got one eye on a certain Cheltenham specialist called Put the Kettle On for that mare's chase.
Yeah, look, you'd imagine, look, it'll be chases all the way. And I thought it was a bold enough move to go chasing with her. I know that mare's chase option, maybe if that wasn't there, maybe she wouldn't be going down this road, because she's obviously capable of mopping up a lot of graded races over hurdles. I mean, I thought it was a bold move as well, running her in a grade two, first time up over fences. But again, I think getting that sort of experience into her in these sort of races would lead you to believe that they want to have her as kind of battle-hardened in one season to go and have a crack at the mare's chase. That's what I would be taking from that sort of campaign. And because you could start off in a beginner's chase somewhere, or find a mare's beginner's chase somewhere later in the month, I think, or the start of next month. But, you know, look, she was good. Trip-wise, I probably am more comfortable with her, for all that she has been in form over 2.5. Probably more comfortable with her over a strongly run 2. But over fences, maybe she'll be fine at 2.5 as well. Bare form doesn't look outstanding, for all that Magic Days has been good. I mean, Jeremy's Flame is a solid mare without being spectacular. But I would say that the Roll of Honour for this race in recent years, it generally throws up a good one. I mean, Mount Ida last year won, and you had Ellie Mae previously the year to that, Shattered Love, Listen Dear, Room Vroom Mag, I think, might have been a few years before that as well. I could be wrong, but I mean, it's a decent race historically, and I'd say she'd be the latest smart one to join that Roll of Honour and go on to better things again.
Now, Mark, Tom, this is where I get myself in trouble. Ellie Mae won well enough by an Ergamine, given her RPR of 171 and shortened to 5-2 for the champion chase. 171, Mark?
Yeah, what's the problem?
171? It would have won the Tingle Creek, do you think?
Yeah. Well, this horse is a better horse than Grenadine, yeah.
Tom, I'm guessing you're just going to say the same, yeah?
Yeah. I was impressed with an Ergamine. There was one point where I was thinking, is he going quite as... I mean, he was always going to win, but I think approaching the last it was, but then just the way he kicked on after the last, plenty left in the tank. He's a brilliant jumper, isn't he? Like, properly fierce at his fences. It's exciting. It really is exciting. If we can get them all there in one piece, it'll be a very good champion chase. As I said earlier, I think of the market principles with the doubts. I don't think there was a lot between. I mean, we obviously never seen them race against each other, but an Ergamine's been twice the price of Shishkin for the champion chase all through the summer. I didn't think there was an awful lot between. I thought there were two exceptional novices last year, and I always kind of was in the Ergamine camp if you had to force me of the two. I'd always been in the Shakan camp of the three of them. I would still side with an Ergamine at this point over Shishkin. As I said earlier, I think there's a few alarm bells with Shishkin. I'd want to see him out on the course and doing it, which an Ergamine's done and done pretty professionally. It was a very good performance. Good starting point. Probably would have won the Tingle Creek, coming back to your answer. I don't know. I like Grenadine as well, but they're two different races. Look, an Ergamine, this is first time out. It was a pretty bog-standard grade two, and he's won as a 1-3 shot. Should do, really.
So, an Ergamine, 5-2 for the champion chase. Shakan Posuar, 10s. Which one of those would you think is the better value? I'm trying to get at him.
You've got a different case here. Come on, put your cards on the table. What are you holding back?
Right. My view on this, an Ergamine, it's really impressive in everything it's done. But the three best horses an Ergamine has come up against so far are Black Bow, Notebook, and Captain Guinness. I want to see if it does this same kind of performance against...
You can only beat what's in front of you, though, no?
Well, of course, yeah. I don't know. This is me trying to pick Shakan Posuar holes last year again. The very small holes I'm trying to tear at, but I'm going to try anyway, and you guys are going to tell me I'm stupid.
I don't know. Look, you can. I never forgive anyone for having a gripe at something when they're short enough in a market, but I think this fella, it was very, very hard to fault Anthony Day at the weekend. Like, I mean, it just seemed like Notebook was out there. They obviously have very similar running styles, but God, they took each other on, and he had an answer for everything Notebook could throw at him. And eventually Notebook just couldn't keep going. Now, I know there is some context to give there that he returned and was sore behind, apparently. But, I mean, this guy's engine is serious. Like, and you would have guessed maybe that he could get a little bit farther at times. He won over 2.5 on heavy at Gorham, but his jumping is just so good over 2. And, you know, ground-wise with him, I think it was one of the quicker surfaces that he encountered at Punchestown last season. And after missing Cheltenham, like, it's not ideal to have any sort of hiccup, but it gave you the impression that it must have been a very minor thing that kept him out of Cheltenham, but the performance he delivered at Punchestown. And, you know, Janna did in second. You know, he's a very smart horse in his own right as well. I mean, he ran an absolute blinder in the John Durkin, which I'm sure we'll be getting on to, for all that we might have seen Janna at his very best there. But, you know, look, I know when you get to a champion chase standard, it's and stepping up from a novice, it is a bigger step again. But in Shishkin and him, there's two absolutely outstanding novices. And my hesitation, I suppose, with Chacun Pursuit for a champion chase, for all that I love him, is tactically what you do here. Because, I mean, Energamine front runs, Chacun, they're talking about being more aggressive again. They're hardly going to take each other on and cut each other for Shishkin to come and pick up all the pieces. So that gives me reluctance in terms of support neither for a champion chase. But I still think, if you were to say to me who the most likely winner of the champion chase is, give me Energamine. So I know I'm probably upsetting you here now, Dan, and you'll give me the cold shoulder for a fortnight here, but I still think he's very, very good. I couldn't knock Anthony did. 5 from 5 over fences, 5-star performance the weekend.
I mean, I love horse racing. I love big stories. So if an Ergamine goes and wins the champion chase, then I will publicly apologise about ever dirtying his name.
No apologies needed.
If something was to happen to Alaho, Mark, could they keep these two apart? I mean, knowing what Willie Mullins likes to do, in he likes to have as many champion wins as he possibly have. I mean, if Chacun was to bounce back, I know there's a lot of ifs and buts here, but something has happened to Alaho, Chacun bounces back. We know that Energamine probably stays a little bit further. Do we see one of these two in the Brian Air?
Jeez, that's a conundrum, all right. I don't know. I think this guy's natural speed and his jumping ability for 2 miles. Now, you could technically try an undersold type of thing. I think this is a denim red as well in terms of breeding. You could try and undersaw on a Ryanair and try and do that. But personally, now, Chacun, I absolutely adore the horse, but I'd have a little question. I'd have more concern about him come March now than Alaho, really. But yeah, Jesus, an interesting conundrum, Parky. I honestly don't know. I'd rather keep this guy, considering how he jumps. I'd rather keep him to 2 miles and yeah, be something else to look forward to. Don't be talking about horses getting injured yet. We're already a few months away.
So we'll move on to Alaho now, winning the John Durkin Memorial. I think it's fair to say that this one was a bit of a war of attrition. The entire field looked pretty tired from the last to the line. Asterion Falange again showing early season jump into his right tendencies. This time unseating the rider 3 out when potentially travelling the best of the lot. Tom, what did you take out of this race?
I think Asterion Falange was going to walk on, wasn't he? I mean, he was going to absolutely hack up.
He looked like he'd got him beat.
I mean, look, you've got to jump the fences. And it's been a big, big problem of Stephen Falange's throughout his career. So at the end of the day, you can't win a race without jumping them. He hasn't. If he had jumped them, ifs and buts again, I think he would have probably won pretty easily. I think Alaho won the race. It was a solid enough performance, but he's probably, I don't know, £15 below his run at Cheltenham there. Like, there's plenty of improvement to come. He's not won this side of Christmas, I don't think, before. That was a solid enough performance. If you've backed Alaho for the Ryanair, I would be sitting pretty happy at the moment. It was a good performance without being spectacular, but I think race fitness probably didn't help his cause there. I think he'll strip a lot fitter next time out, I'm sure.
Mark, what did you think of the rest of the field?
Good race, yeah, exciting race. I mean, Alaho, for all that I didn't... It's amazing when you win a Grade 1, you'd expect connections to be a little bit more ecstatic. I thought they were a little bit downbeat about him. I was more encouraged because I approached this race thinking he's going to need a first time up. You look at his record, each of his 3 seasons at Willie, he's got beaten first time up in the month of December, peaks in the spring. We saw that last year. And I think it was unrealistic to expect him first time up to produce a performance like the Ryanair. Like, maybe we got wowed into or lulled into thinking that wow performance was going to be automatic straight away, but he tends to build into his year, Aloho, and provided this hasn't left too much of a mark, he's a standout for the Ryanair again. And, you know, I take that Styria Fernandes was absolutely travelling very, very strongly. But look, still had to go and do it. And Aloho is a stubborn bugger now in the closing stages. I was very, very encouraged with what I saw from Janadale. He was a horse that I found hard to kind of place in terms of ability, because I thought probably not grade one in open company standard, but too high for handicaps. But he's pretty much put himself in the picture now where he could make the step up again to grade one senior company, you know, come Christmas. And look, I'd have to give a shout to Mellon there. I mean, listen, I've got more abuse down through the years on Cheltenham preview nights putting up Mellon each way for races, and, you know, fella's absolutely treating you with disdain. But he's ran a blinder again, and he's 10 next month, and there's still life in the old boy yet. It's amazing in a race where I think we had 8 grade one winners and a grand national winner. He isn't a grade one winner. After all he's done, he still hasn't won a grade one. But, you know, I'm disappointed with Envoy Allen on the other hand. I'm disappointed that potentially, you know, we've got ahead of ourselves in terms of where he stands. And look, there could be something more to it. Perhaps he is better than he's shown on the day. But I found it quite hard to make immediate excuses for what I saw. Look, he's very, very good. We know he's very good. But, you know, it's a big step up again from what he was doing as a novice into this company. I genuinely thought he had all the tools to make the step up. I genuinely thought that he was absolutely top drawer. But his form at the moment is just showing that he needs to up it again. Now, you can say, if you're being forgiving on the other hand, you can say he's had one fall at Cheltenham, he's injured at Punchestown, and he wins it down Royal. This is his first blip, fair enough. But I just don't think that he's the champion, the wonder horse that I was hoping he might be. And that's probably the more disappointing thing, rather than his actual performance, because he didn't run badly. But if you believe that Envoy Allen is a second coming, it is disappointing.
I mean, one question I wanted to ask regards Envoy Allen is, for each of you, what race would you put him up in next?
It's a funny one, because the comment from Henry afterwards was kind of suggesting that they felt he just kind of stuck at it and that he just stayed on. And I don't know if the phrase one pace was used, so I don't want to misquote Henry. But, you know, they felt the noises they were making were that he didn't show many gears. I personally felt that if he could get back to as he was before, a strongly run 2 mile, 2 mile one, I would be willing to experiment with that. You know, the Dial-A-Bet Chase at Christmas at Leopardstown, I would be willing to experiment with that. Now, listen, it's probably unlikely, and it's probably more likely that he's the open trip, but he's shown pace in his career, and he shows an ability to jump as well. So I think over kind of a strongly run 2 miles, that could suit him, but he probably just has questions to answer in general as to whether he is an absolute out-and-out, you know, multiple going to be grade one winner in open company as we thought he might be, or as I thought he might be anyway. But yeah, he's a funny one to place. Now, where would you go?
Oh, I would go King George. Let's have it.
I wanted to see him in the King George. I was at the start of the season, I was saying, oh, Envoy Allen's absolutely, especially after seeing him the other week, I thought, oh, he's tailor-made for the King George. He'll just, I'm so glad they're not running in the King George, because my pockets, I think, would be significantly lighter. I'm glad they ran him here, because I thought it was very disappointing. Look, we've seen this horse 3 times now over chases in races where he's been put up against, like, where we can kind of put some substance to his form, and he's blotted the copybook every time. I just don't know how many more excuses you can give him. Like, it was a pretty poor effort, wasn't it? I mean, he's jumped fine, and then he's just, when it comes to that shift of gear that we've often seen of him, but I don't know, I'm kind of, I wasn't in the Envoy Allen fan club last year. I was very much against him, and then I was kind of willing to forgive him a little bit for his runs at Cheltenham and Punchestown. He came back, ran really well. But again, he's just, they're small fields against pretty average opposition. When he's come up against a proper grade one horse, he's just disappointed a little bit. Could he bounce back? Maybe. Has the change of stable caused something? Again, I just find he's becoming a bit of an excuse horse. I personally would run him now. I think you've got to try him once more in grade one company against the best in something like the Savills Chase. see if he's if that sparks back. I just don't know. Gordon Elliott was absolutely convinced that this horse was his Gold Cup horse of the future. Be interesting to see if it was back in Gordon Elliott's care, whether he could reignite anything. But it was very disappointing. I was expecting big things from Ember Island this season, like so many probably were. But that to me was that race was there for the winning. I'm pretty convinced that Alaho didn't quite run up to his potential. Asterion Falange fell. If Envoy Island wouldn't have had to have been the horse anywhere near the horse that we've kind of bigged him up to be to win that race, and he's come there and just flattened. I don't know what you do with him. I can't work out whether he needs to go up in tip, down in trip, stay over fences, go over hurdles. He's a very, very, he's becoming a very, very complicated puzzle at the moment. And yeah, disappointment. Wouldn't be touching him for anything, I don't think.
So we'll end out our reviews on what might have been what I think's the easiest combination tri-cast there's ever been in racing. With Fernie Hollow leading on, Cor Sublime and the Devil's Coachman in third. These are three good ones, aren't they, Mark?
Very much so, yeah, very much so. And fair pity if you got the tri-cast. No, I didn't have your foresight if you did, but yeah, he's very good, Fernie. And I think his lack of experience in general, for all that he's won a champion bumper, you know, you kind of forget that he hasn't got a lot of miles in the clock. Like Cor Sublime, I was very encouraged by what I saw. I actually put him up for the county hurdle last year. Thought he could be one for that, but you never know what he might make up into, because he likes Cheltenham, we know that. And you know, for switch to chase and switch to Henry to Bramhead, we know what Henry can do with his chasers. I was encouraged by what I saw there, but you know, Fernie is the story of the race. I think there was a few people that might have been suggesting Willie could have kept him over hurdles, let's say, and have a crack at Honeysuckle, because you know, outside of maybe Honeysuckle and Charger, there's a lack of depth probably there to you know, standout challengers to Honeysuckle, and a horse of his natural ability could have made up into a challenger for a champion hurdle. So I think the fact that they've got him out over fences, they've got him out and winning, and off the back of a significant layoff, I think it all bodes really well for him. It's the final stage of the race that really impressed me. And because, you know, he's got, you know, the early stages of the race, he'll sharpen up. He has to sharpen up. But, you know, this is a good starting point for him. You know, tougher tasks lie ahead. But we know the ability he has, we know the form he has, and job done. Really looking forward to seeing him. But Cor Sublime, something at the festival for him. Wouldn't be surprised if he ends up in a nice handicap. That could be now, you know, that could be harsh in the horse. He could be better than that, but he's very much on my radar for one of those sort of races, something like the Plate or something like that, or a Grand Annual. He could be very interesting.
Fernie Hollow's gone second favourite currently for the Arkle market at 3-1. Appreciate it, yet to be seen over fences. I must admit, for this race, I thought the Devil's Coachman didn't have the best round of jumping, got caught up in behind a few horses a couple of times, but the finishing, Jesus, the finishing strides. What did you think of that, Tom?
Yeah, he's one that is very much on my cards for one of the handicap chases, the Devil's Coachman. I think... yeah, I was impressed with the way he finished. Yeah, he did catch the eye. Yeah, something like the Grand Annual maybe, or something like the Plate Grand Annual, something like that. And with Cor Sublime as well, the thing with Cor Sublime, he's very good fresh, isn't he? Like, if I kind of wanted to run him in the Plate or the Annual, would you want to go there fresh? But then he's only had one run over fences, be a bit of a risk. It was a good performance for Fernie Hollow. I think he's beaten two good yardsticks there. As I said, Cur Sublime, first time out as well. He can beat some of these classier ones. It was a good performance from Fernie Hollow. I kind of think 3-1 for the Arkle's a little bit on the skinny side, but hey-ho. Willie Mullins has got them both. That would kind of, I'd be thinking, well, if something happens, if there's a race or up in trip that's there for the taking, I always kind of think Willie will look to split two very good ones up. That would be my worry about getting involved in the Arkle at this stage on either of them. But look, he jumped really well. And it was a very good performance. We should wait and see. If something was to happen to Bob Olinger, though, this season, I could see Willie Mullins changing tack with one of them two. they're two very, very good horses, aren't they? And yeah, let's just hope we see Appreciate out soon.
I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility after the lack of confidence in the British contingent earlier in the show from the panel that all three of these might end up in the Arkle. And for anybody who's interested in the prices of the other two, Cor Sublime currently available at 50s and The Devil's Coachman is 66-1. So that's the end now of our racing reviews. We're going to have a look ahead to the week coming up, and we've got the Racing Post sponsored Gold Cup Handicap Chase at Cheltenham. We've got 21 runners currently, Maxfield are 17. If I can ask each of you just to come up with one selection at this stage of the week.
Yeah, I was interested in Layla for the Paddy Power Gold Cup. He's the favourite at the moment. Didn't quite perform as well as I thought. It was a good run first time out, I suppose, finishing third. I was expecting him to win, obviously. But look, I got the impression that he maybe needed a little bit further. He's getting on a bit in age now. He's 9 going on 10. The heavy ground may be in his favour. He's got decent form on heavy ground. The other two that kind of a tick in my boxes at this stage, I thought Cool Cody was interesting. My worry with him is he isn't going to want the ground very soft at all, and I'm not sure the weather's looking all that good for him. I was interested to know, my selection at this stage would probably be Layla, but I am interested to know what Mark thinks of Noble Yates, because he strikes me as having a interesting profile for this, for like these connections are pretty well known for striking these kinds of races, and I just thought he had a really nice profile. He gave a beating to Magic Days that we've just spoken about, and Gabinaco earlier in the season, been a little bit disappointing since, but yeah, interested to know what Mark thinks, because he's the true expert of this Irish form.
I don't know about that now, but that is a standout piece of form, isn't it? Like, I mean, it suggested he could be very smart. You know, Gabinaco only just beaten Drin Mawr. You know, he has the potential to prove better than his mark, but and you have to have big respect for the stable if they are coming over here. But, you know, just a little light and experience as well over fences. Like, they've obviously held him in high regard from an early stage. I mean, he's ran in some decent bumpers. He was impressive in a couple of his wins, you know, back in a bumper and over hurdles. You know, he went for sale, I think, last February, 290,000 not sold. So, you know, they must think a fair bit of him, and he has given the impression, even over hurdles, that he will be a better chaser. So, you know, he's got a nice profile, but it's another step up. And I mean, the handicap experience he gained last time at Cork will have to stand to him, because he didn't run the race I thought he would. He was disappointing.
Did he scope badly or something? I seem to remember reading something that
he's clinically abnormal. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. I think he has the potential to step up, but in this sort of race, to me, your battle hardened seasoned campaigners around here, like, the experience he could gain here could stand him really well for going back to the festival in March potentially. I still think he has plenty of promise, but I'm not saying he's absolutely an Irish thing is going to go over and do what Mick Winters' horse Chatham Street Lad did here last year. I'm not feeling the same level of confidence, to be quite honest. Still think he's smart, but I don't think we'll have a Chatham Street Lad. I think Drasher Dasher, I like these kind of horses up high in the weights here in British handicaps, typically. You know, for all that, Ascot is the scene of where his best form is, and, you know, you need to come on again from last time. He's entitled to do that. For his first start since February. I just think now his class could take him an awful long way in the race, and just maybe wanted a bit of a price down the opposite end of it. I know he's no spring chicken, but Cotto Rico, he's 40-1, something along those sort of lines. He has decent form around here before. He was 4 to Cool Cody in a Paddy Power last year. You know, first start of the season, he has run well fresh before. Look, at you're needing to excuse a couple of things, but he is a price that you can begin to excuse things for. So if I was having a sporting selection at this stage without having studied the race in enough detail to be ultra confident, Cotto Rico at 40s each way, that'd make a little bit of appeal each way.
And one that catches my eye at the minute, Fusil Raffles, best price 12-1. If you're interested in for the Ryanair, this could well be the race he'll want to win to cement his credentials for that, much like Frodon did ahead of their success in 2019. Any love for Fusil Raffles, Mark?
Sure, he's rock solid horse, isn't he? Again, he's the right, that's the sort of profile I'd like here, in terms of one, you know, that can make its class count. You know, I'm happy with that, but obviously he wouldn't have won at Weatherby bar what happened with poor old Jan Blue on the day. But yeah, he's solid now, and he's a backable price.
keep an eye on the weather with him. I think he likes good ground, doesn't he?
We're good at the moment. Yeah, but
it's good at the moment. Yeah. I don't know what it's just. I think the weather's a bit unpredictable. Whether this storm's gonna like, I don't know. Every time I look at the weather, it seems to be a little bit different on how much rainfall they're gonna get. But I'd be a little bit wary of having a bet in this race before I kind of, certainly on a ground dependent horse, before I know how much rain they're gonna get. If he's a runner, I think Fusil Raffles has got a half decent chance. Just again, a little bit hit and miss. But when he's on song, I'm sure he's better than his mark of 152.
And Mark, we're expecting to see Bob Olinger again this week, are we?
Potentially. Now, I'm not quite sure. I haven't spoken to anyone about whether he does run or not, but he showed up in the entries for the Novice Chase on Saturday. I believe it's at 12:40. Bob Olinger and My Drogo of all. A little bit of a surprise, maybe Saturday treat we could have, because it wasn't totally certain of where we would see Bob Olinger next. He had the option of turning up at Limerick for the Grade 1 Faheen. That was one option that was mentioned without Henry being concrete as to where he'd go. I honestly couldn't tell you as to whether it's an intended target for him here, but the fact that they've given him an entry 3 weeks on from his chasing bow at Gorn, encouraged anyway. It's exciting that we can think about it.
Mark, you got any other selections that you're looking forward to this week?
A little bit early at the moment. We've been absolutely definite on one or two. But I'll tell you what, for here, we'll go big or go home. There's a horse running at Dundalk on Wednesday in the very last race, the 5:15. It's a handicap that's split into two. It doesn't look the best race in the world. Not the highest grade. I thought Shifra, S-I-O-F-R-A, number 10. I thought she ran better maybe than her finishing position suggested last time, over a mile and a half. And that dropping back to mile and a quarter, an extended mile and a quarter here, would suit her. Look, she's going to be a price, but I just thought the way the race might set up and coming back in trip, if she was to produce a similar effort again, you know, that was off 60, she runs off 58 here. That's the level we're kind of dealing with, but I think she could run well at a price. So Shifra, hopefully for a bit of value at Dundalk on Wednesday in the 5:15.
And Tom, is there a glint in your eye for anything running this week?
In the 1:50 at Cheltenham on Friday, I was interested in Rose of Arcadia for Colin Tizard. If the rain comes, she's got a very good record on heavy ground. It's her first time over fences. I think she's a much better horse than 119. She was beaten last time by a couple of Alan King's at Wincanton, but I know from Alan King's Weekender column, they were very, very keen on Winhouse. I think the horse was the one the rest. They were very keen on his chances. I just thought Rose of Arcadia, she looked like she was going to win that race pretty comfortably. Just petered out a little bit at the finish. Think she'll come on for the run. Think she'll definitely improve her fences as well. I just think she's a lot better than 119. So she's about 8-1 at the moment. Be interesting to see if she turns up there. If she does, I think she's definitely a big price at that.
All right, thank you very much for that then, gents. I've really enjoyed getting stuck back into the weekend's action. The Racing Postcast will, as ever, be back on Friday with a detailed look at the weekend's racing. So until next time, enjoy the racing and please gamble responsibly.
Download the brand new Racing Post Progeny Tracker, the only tracker of its kind, giving you the ability to track unnamed racehorses by any sire or dam. And you can also get easy access to sales information. You can download it for free on the App Store by searching Progeny Tracker.